so that we can, so that I believe that there's people that still sitting here. Listen, if you are still wondering whether God is real, wondering, you don't know how to receive, you need a touch of the glory of God. I need to explain the glory of God in order for you to receive it, which means that it's going to come into this place when I'm done here. And then what's going to happen, but you have to open up your heart. When you receive it, it's the kabout glory of God that changes a person's heart. It's the kabout glory of God. And you'll hear now what the kabout glory of God is, that touches a person's heart. It's that glory that breaks a person's heart and causes them to cry. There are people sitting here, even men. It might have been 20 or 30 years since you've cried and you think you are a man and so on. Listen, when the anointing comes, when the glory of God comes, when the love of the Father, I cannot help but cry. When I'm in my room, when I'm in my prayer room, when I'm lying on the floor, wherever I'm at, when the glory of God comes in, I cannot help but cry. When the glory of God is going to come into this place, you can sit in the back of the church, you can sit in the front, you will feel His presence. Are you guys with me? Now, I can teach for many hours on three dimensions of the supernatural, which I wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. I want to get to the glory part, but I'll quickly go through three dimensions. Say with me, three dimensions. I need to explain to you so that you can understand. Now, I know some might know this if you have followed my ministry, and many might not know this. But there are three dimensions in the supernatural. If we don't understand that, we are not going to be able to receive God. Listen, there are too many insensitive believers. We come to church, we don't sense His presence. God is an intimate God. In church, I mean, many of us, if I have to ask you the question, you'll say to me, you come to church to listen to a message. Few will say to me, I come to church to experience God. There's a big difference. Are you guys with me? If there is no power in a church, there's religion. And I actually want to say, get out. If there's not power, if the presence of God has departed, why are we there? Why are we getting together if there's no presence? Why are we getting together when God is not there? It's a religion. Come on, are you guys with me? But we have to prepare our hearts to allow the glory of God to come in. When the glory of God comes in, now I had to teach, I've been in the ministry for long, and I remember I had to teach a group of people for about 2 years to receive the glory. They were unable to receive the glory of God. The glory of God must be revealed. Say with me, revealed. It's a different evening now. Now I'm just talking, we're not preaching, screaming. Tomorrow night, we'll do much more prophecy and much more miracles. Tonight, I purely want to focus on an encounter with God. That is it. Okay, for those that are here. What did I want to say? The glory, say with you, revealed. The glory of God comes via revelation. It comes with revelation. The only way we get revelation is when we get a theophany. I said to you this morning, a theophany is a visible manifestation of God, which means that, okay, we don't have to go to that degree, but it is even when you're sitting in the chair here and your eyes are closed and you might have never done this and you raise your hands, but you just surrender your heart and you feel as if God is coming in you, or you feel His presence and you surrender to that. 99%, this is a recorded statistic by George Barnes, 98% of Christians does not have a personal relationship with God. You're a supernatural being, a spiritual person, having, unfortunately, a natural experience on this world. The Bible says that you come from God before you were here. You might have been born here, but you come from God. You might have been born in Pretoria or Johannesburg, but you do not come from this. You might have born on this world, but you do not come from this world. You are a spiritual person. Whether you like it or not, you consist of spirit, soul, and body. Are you guys with me? Whenever the Bible says spirit, soul, body, it first says spirit, then soul, then body, because spirit is the most important. If a ministry is not spiritual, let me say it like this, let me rephrase it. If a ministry is not supernatural, that ministry has no effect in the realm of the spirit. But when a people can rise up and they know their identity, that they are spiritual and supernatural. You see, when I understand that I come from a world beyond this world, whose laws are superior to the laws of this world, which means if there's any sickness, listen, I'll get to the glory of God just now. If there's any sickness, if there's any curse, that laws have to submit to the world where I come from. And the Bible says that we are ambassadors of Christ. which means that you have diplomatic immunity, which means that the laws of this world does not apply to you. If sickness touches your body, it does not apply to you. If an ambassador or an ambassador comes from another country, they have diplomatic immunity. They can speed past you on the highway. You driving 120 and you check a blooper, a parade going past you, and it's at 180, 200, and you're thinking that's unfair, and you have to stop at the red robot, and they're just driving over the red robot. You have to go to an airport when you fly to America or to New York. For some of you, that, how many have been to New York? Just raise your hands. How many of you have been in those long queues by the passport check? And you stand there for like 2 hours, and you check, there's another line, and it says diplomats. And there's like no one. They just take them through, and you stand there 2 hours. No signal, nothing is happening, because you do not have diplomatic status. But now the kingdom of heaven, the Apostle Paul says that we are ambassadors of Christ, which means that you are sent from another world with diplomatic immunity. I'm not saying speeding, just there's someone sitting and saying, oh, but he's saying we must break the rules of the land. Curses. The things in this world does not apply to you, because you come from another world. If our Father in heaven is inside of you, of your son of royalty, that is how our minds must change. Are you guys with me? Say with me, faith. Hebrews 11, chapter number 1. You don't have to go there. It says, now faith. Say with me, now faith. Say it again. Say, now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now I can go and break that whole sentence up in the Greek for you. Now faith is the substance. The word substance is hypostasis, which means to sit, to relax, to sit upon, and to rest. The word evidence means elankos, where we get the word rebuttal from, which means that it is evidence that is used in a court of law against a case. For example, if you and I, if let's say you're in the court and you are being, I don't know, you're convicted for stealing, and there's evidence coming that you haven't stolen, and that evidence proves that you haven't stolen, and it sets you free. The Bible says now faith is the substance, the hypostasis. It is a place of resting and relaxing. The word hypostasis also means this, a state of being. Say with me, a state of being. I'm going to teach you something here now, listen, because you cannot get to the glory before we have faith. So it says a state of being. Now faith is the substance, a state of being. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. Say with me, the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence, elankos, which means rebuttal, which means this. It is evidence that comes out of an invisible realm to rebuke the circumstances in a physical realm. Which means that if you have sickness in your body, but you have faith. Now, how do I get faith? Because people think faith is hope. Faith is not hope. Faith is a state of being. As I'm walking now, I can decide to begin to run. As I'm walking, I can decide to stand still. It is my state of being. I decide to switch it on and off. I don't know if you guys understand it. Faith, I switch on the inside of me. The Bible says when I got saved, a God faith was given to me. The faith of God was given to you. Every single person sitting in this place has a measure of faith. That faith is the ability for you to connect between the realm of the natural and the supernatural. Faith is the activator of the power of God, and reason is the deactivator of the power of God. Faith is the activator, love is the motivator, and reason is the deactivator. If you're sitting here and you're reasoning in your mind, who can fall dimension on? Say with me, a state of being. So when you are sick in your body, you have a measure of faith. Now you become sick, but now you have faith and you see the invisible. You see the realm of the unseen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. It is the things that you don't see. It is the healing that is like a document. It's a healing that you see, but it's not in your body yet. And as you see it, the Bible says that it comes into the natural and it is a rebuttal. It rebukes your physical circumstances. It is a rebuttal in court. It says, listen here, you are not sick. I don't know if you guys are with me. It's legal terms. That's the measure of faith. Jesus walked in a town He walked like this, and everybody was touching him, and nothing happened. But then one woman touched him, and she pulled something out of him. Then Jesus was at his hometown, and the Bible says that because of the lack of unbelief and the familiarity they had towards him, I'm not saying you have it, I'm just speaking, familiarity they had towards him, that he could not, say with me, could not. So if I can say these words to you, is there a time that God failed to do a miracle? It's there, where there's familiarity. But where there is a hunger, where people are saying, I'm so desperate. Listen, where people, I was in a meeting. I remember I was in one crusade. I wasn't ministering, but I was in this huge crusade. It started 9 o'clock at night. There were 30,000 people. By the previous day, 1,000 people slept there already. By 12 o'clock the next day, it's only starting at 9 o'clock the evening. By 12 o'clock, place was completely packed with heating sun. And we wonder why we don't have miracles. Because you have Dr. A, you have psychologist B, you have psychiatrist 3, C. You know, you have this option, I have my home, I have this. But where's a hunger and a desperation for the presence of God? When you taste the presence of God, even if it is tonight when the other wave is going to come into this place, when you taste the presence of God, I pray that you will become addicted to that presence, that you will lose your reputation. Whatever your friend is thinking or your family is thinking, you will lose your reputation and begin to cry out to God. There's a word, cry, in the Bible, which the King David says about when we cry out to God, He answers. He comes immediately in and answers us. But it's a cry of desperation. But we will sit. But we have so much debt, we can't pay off our house. And God is, and King David is saying, when we have a cry of desperation, God rushes in to deliver us immediately. It's like your child, you're sitting in another room, and you're sitting here and you hear your child scream in terror. You are there in 1 second. But we fail to do that with God. May faith, say with me, faith. May faith grow in this place. May an expectation grow in this place. Listen, faith is not hope. Faith is not positive speaking. Faith is not optimism. Faith is not those things. Are you guys with me? Let me tell you, I'm not going to preach this sermon, but let me. Faith is not the past. Listen, the Bible says now faith is. Not faith was in the past or faith is. No, faith is, say with me, now. Okay, that's the first level of the first dimension of the supernatural. Let me just get, say with me, anointing. Like I said, faith is the outer court. It's the lowest level. Then you get to the second level where maybe a few Christians operate in. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the difference between the anointing and faith? Faith. Now, this is a Christian with faith. Let's say Irina has a sickness in her body. And I say, dear Jesus, please bless her and touch her body and God bless you. You know, she didn't feel anything. It's a backsliding prayer, okay? Because you even begged God and you were sweating a little bit and hot flashes. But when you carry the anointing, you have a measure of the anointing. The anointing operates in levels. Now listen, you have a measure of the anointing in you. And you have the ability to receive and to release that anointing. Are you guys with me? That is dependent on, I spoke to you, where is the anointing located? It is located with the anointed. You find the anointing with anointed men and women of God. You get importation. You spend time with God. The measure of the anointing then increases to the degree that you can release it. Every one of us have an anointing, a measure of the anointing inside of us. But not every one of us can release it with a certain degree. It requires energy to release the anointing, which is energeo in the Greek, in the New Testament. Where if you look at it in the book of Ephesians, now I can take, as an anointed Christian, I don't even have to say a word. I can release the anointing into her body just by one move, one prayer, and she will feel it. That's the difference between faith and the anointing. Are you guys with me? You have a measure of God that you can give to somebody. A government, a new government is not going to change South Africa. And let me give you a surprise. ACDP is not going to change South Africa. Because it still works in a democratic way. God is not a democracy. God is a theocracy. The only thing that will change South Africa is a revival of a people that is filled with the Holy Ghost. That is filled, and they can give a measure of God to somebody else. How amazing is it that we can give God to someone by the laying on of hands? I can put my hand on their head and I can give them God. Come on, are you guys with me? I can give them God. It's time to get a measure of the anointing. It's time to learn how to release it. That happens in the school of discipleship. Only if you're in our church. So, say with me, faith. Say anointing. Listen, the anointing, I'm not going to get into that. I want to be quickly. The anointing is a tangible, transferable substance of God. It means to be smeared, to be rubbed with anointed oil, to be rubbed in, to be smeared, to be massaged with the oil of heaven, with God. The anointing is literally the substance of God. When somebody is anointed, it's the substance of God that is upon them, and it goes off from them onto somebody else. When we worship Him here, when we praise Him here, when we get on our knees, when I get on my knees here, and I sometimes pray here in the service, the heavens open and the anointing comes on me. I know when I'm not anointed, and I know when I am anointed. But it does not, listen, it's not going to be a Christian with a Bible under their arm that's going to change, or that is dangerous. It's not going to be people that are going to come to church that's going to be dangerous. Acts 10 verse 38 says, how God, say with me, anointed. Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Say with me, healing all. Not healing some, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. When somebody is anointed, God is with them. I even told you last time, the anointing is located with the anointed. When somebody is anointed, it's like they are God. Peter stood in front of the persons, Ananias and Sapphira, and said, this day you shall die, and blah, blah, blah. And they died. They fell in front of them dead. And he says, and he said, they lied to Peter. But Peter answered them in Acts chapter number 6 and said, because you lied to the Holy Ghost. But they were lying to Peter. But it was because Peter was anointed. God was on him. So when they lied to him, they lied to God. So the question, the thing, the secret is, get anointed. So we must move from faith to the anointing. Come on, are you guys with me? When I'm anointed, I can cast out devils. I can heal the sick. But I have a limitation. I must still lay hands. But when I enter into a third realm, a third dimension of the supernatural, it's called the glory of God. The glory of God has no limits. That is when I no longer have to lay hands. I can stand like this and somebody in the back will fall. I don't have to physically lay hands on them. Come on, are you guys with me? Say with me, the glory of God. Listen here, there is a realm of the glory of God. It is a supernatural realm. It is a secret place. It is the realm of God. The realm of the glory of God. My God, I don't know. I hope I don't really have to teach you for 2 years or so. I hope you can catch it tonight. The Bible says the knowledge of, say with me, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. The glory of the Lord has already filled the earth. But it says the knowledge of the glory shall fill the earth. Which means that a people need to be trained about the glory. They need revelational knowledge about the glory of God. Moses said, show me your glory. Which means that he had to have a personal experience with the glory of God. When the glory of God comes in, that's when the weight of God comes on you. When the glory of God is going to come into this, and we've been in services where it would be white, I would not be able to see in the back. In fact, I was in some services, where was that? I'm just trying to remember, where I battled to see, I think it was with a Destiny, where I couldn't see the band and they couldn't see me. It was white. And then you hear demons scream. And I would walk like this, and one guy brought his girlfriend while his wife was at home, but nobody knew it. And his girlfriend climbed under the chair and started screaming as the demons were screaming out of her. When the glory comes in, you don't have to touch somebody. Listen, under the anointing, I must cast out a devil. Under the glory, devils are illegal. Giants are illegal. Curses are illegal. Under the anointing, I must cut off a giant's head. Under the glory of God, a giant is illegal in the place. When the glory of God comes into this place, you better know if there's any curse, if there's any demon, if there's anything in your life, let it be gone when the glory comes in. Say, God, remove it from my life. Take it from my life. When the glory comes in, when an encounter comes in, say with me, reputation. Lose your reputation. When the glory of God comes in, there's no distance, there's no limitation. It's the glory that changes the heart of a person. I'm going to close with this. Let me just say this. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. You can put it on the screen. Isaiah 6, verse 1. Listen, the glory of God is the fullness. It's the thickness of God. Say with me, the thickness. That's the kabout glory. There's two glories. You get the Shekinah glory as well. Shekinah glory is the visible manifestation of God. That's when you can see a cloud. That's when you can see a fire. That's when you can you can see something visible. Many times it'll come as gold dust. It'll come as oil. And people say there's no scripture. There is a scripture for gold dust in the book of Job. It comes in as Jesus Christ was the expressed image of the Shekinah glory of God. So it's the visible manifestation of God. When we see a cloud, when we are worshiping here, I remember the one time, it was like it was white. But I have seen a physical white that you cannot see people. You just walk past and people are shooting under the power of God, because the glory of God is there. The anointing is what God gives to man. The glory is God Himself coming into the place. The anointing is me raising myself up here, and I have to work the anointing in a certain way. I have to work it. I have to release it. But when the glory comes in, I am taken out of the picture, and you still get. I don't have to say to you, raise your hands. I don't have to say to you, let's worship Him. The glory, it's God Himself coming into a place. Oh, come on, guys, with me. Listen, let me just read this. The glory of God is the realm of eternity. It is a realm of timelessness. When the glory comes in, it's like time disappears. You can be 5-6 hours and it feels like 1 hour, because God, eternity was there. Eternity has no time. The glory of God is a manifestation of God Himself. It is God revealed. Listen, the glory of God is the manifest presence. It is infinity without limits or restrictions. The glory of God, God is the glory. As air is the atmosphere of the earth, the glory of God is the atmosphere of heaven. The kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours is the kingdom, the power. The kingdom is the government of heaven. The power is the ability of heaven. The glory is the atmosphere of heaven. Heaven comes into earth. We as Christians have the ability to pull heaven into this place. The glory comes in by revelation. When you get a revelation tonight of the glory of God, it comes in by a hunger. It ain't gonna touch anybody just standing like this. It's gonna touch somebody that is desperate, that's crying out. The glory of God will come upon them. Some people feel very uncomfortable. I know what church you're coming from. Many pastors are afraid of the glory of God because they want to be in control. When the glory comes in, it's out of control. You hear people scream. You hear demons screaming out. You hear people cry. You hear people weep. Stephen has been in a meeting with me where the glory came in, where for about 3 hours, we couldn't do nothing. People were crying and weeping. I just stood with the mic like this. While the people on the floor, they couldn't get up, and they were crying and throwing up at the same time as the demons were coming out of them. That after 3 hours, the floor was wet. That's the glory of God. That's God coming in. But you see, we don't want God visiting us. Many pastors want to control. I have controlled services, but not in a conference. I want God to be God. I serve a God that does not behave. He cannot be stuck in a box. He can come into this place any second, any moment of the time. Even right now. Who is going to stop Him? He is an unaccountable force. He is unaccountable to anybody. He is not accountable to you and I. He can come and move in this place. But it is possible for one person to experience the glory and another person to sit with their arms folded. Because a hardness of heart cannot receive the glory. A soft heart can. But when the glory comes, it'll cause, even if your heart is hard, it'll cause you, it'll put like guilt on, not guilt, but like pressure to break. Because God is looking for a broken people. God is looking for a people that can break open and cry to Him again. That is the glory of God. Listen. Let me read Isaiah chapter number 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Say the I saw. When the glory of God comes in, you will see God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 16, you don't have to go there. It says, those who behold the glory of the Lord will be changed and transformed into that same image. When you behold the glory, you become that which you behold. I can take that out of scripture. When Peter encountered God via revelation, Jesus says, your name shall no longer be Simon, but it shall now be Peter. And he says, for on this rock I'll build my church. But the word Peter means a piece of the rock. And the rock, he says, on this rock I'll build my church. The rock is Christ. That is a revelation that Peter had. Which means that the revelation Peter had, he became a part of it. So when you encounter God as your healer, you become a part of it and you can bring healing to others. When you encounter God as your deliverer, you can be a part of it and you can take the... There's no way that you... Listen, every time you encounter the glory, your spirit never forgets an encounter with God. And your spirit can always reproduce that encounter. That means if you encounter God in a certain way in the church or your room, you can go to your friends or wherever and your spirit can recreate that encounter. Which means that I can only give out what I've received. Listen. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe, say with me, filled. Fill the temple. Now His robe is His glory. His clothing is His glory. The word filled means to continuously over and over and over fill the temple. Which means that when the glory of God comes in, it's eternity coming in. There is no end of it. When you see God, you think you see Him, but you haven't seen Him because He just keeps growing. His glory has no end. When His glory fills the temple, it has no end. It says, and it filled the temple. Next verse. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. Next verse. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Next verse. And for the post of the door was shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled, say with you, with smoke. Is the Shekinah glory. Next verse. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah realized when he encountered the glory. Listen, when the glory comes in, you will feel exposed. The glory is there to expose your spiritual condition. What do I mean? Some people will weep or will pray or will worship. Others will just stand. They'll feel exposed. They feel like uncomfortable. It means because something uncomfortable is in them. That's feeling them uncomfortable. And they're like, people are crying and weeping and because they cannot perceive the glory of God. It exposes you. It exposes your spiritual condition. A church that can receive the glory is a mature church. Are you guys with me? We have been to churches and you'll go like, and I'm speaking of like, let's say 30, 40 people in one block falling under the power. Taking a photo, see the name, and I go straight from there into a church of thousands. Nothing. I lay hands on the one person. It's like this pulpit receives much more anointing than what that person did. I can actually impart into this pulpit. But they were unable to receive. Say with me, receive. Say sensitivity. Can everybody just raise their hands in this place? Just raise your hands. Close your eyes in a surrender way. You don't have to raise it high. Just in a surrender way. I want you to relax and surrender to Him right now.